You think you're number one, I'm number one.
Oh, my goodness. I had an idea, because we've been playing with the idea of doing a TikTok. Mm. You know, well past TikToks.
When it's going to be cool.
Yeah, by the time TikTok, it completely just crashes. We'll be like, guess what, guys? We've got a TikTok. But I thought, like, our first TikTok could be you and me as Mavis and Doreen trying to figure out how to use TikTok.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah.
And we could just both be sitting there. And we could be asking genuine questions. You know, like, now what do I push to make it stop? Mm-hmm. You know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But
I like that a lot.
I think it'd be fun.
See, and I like video content that's not me.
Okay.
That's why I like Rocco so much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Enjoy playing a character.
I like playing a character.
What if our witchcraft, witch talk, TikTok was just nothing but
character acting and skits.
Yeah.
People, the name, like, is just what gets you there.
Why is this? I wanted to see, like, witchcraft stuff. Why am I watching these two middle-aged women pretend to be?
We're not middle-aged.
I am.
When is the cutoff for middle age?
I think, I always thought it was like 40, 45.
You're not middle aged.
I'm not middle aged, no. But
when you said that, I am. I was like, does it start in your 30s? That can't be right.
I mean, I think if you want to be like real.
Like technical about it?
Hard about it, maybe 35.
Yeah.
But I always just kind of thought 40, 45.
Yeah.
And that's not just me trying to give myself some time. I've always, I swear to God.
Yeah, that's a middle age to me is 40s.
That's when you have your midlife crisis, you know?
Yeah.
Right?
Which, considering I had a quarter life crisis, I know I'm going to have a midlife crisis.
Oh, yeah.
That was just the appetizer.
Yeah. Does it count as a, does it get a name if you have one like every 2 years?
That's if just a crisis. That's a life crisis.
if you just change everything about yourself. Once every couple of months.
Oh. That's an identity crisis.
No, Charlie, that's trauma. Oh, my. We're here, back again, after our Silly-sode Mental Health Day.
Uh-huh.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
Refreshed? Rejuvenated?
Rejuvenated. We're getting a lot of work done today. If you want to learn a little bit about me today.
Of course.
Which you learned a lot about me in the birth chart episode. And this is just basically directly related to that. And so aside from the flying aspect of this trip, which is my number one stressor.
The trip we're taking to Anahatas.
Yeah, to Anahatas. Yeah. Here in like a few goddamn days. Can't wait for it, but the problem is you got to fucking fly there. And so it's like, I have that always looping in the back of like a boiling pot.
Constantly there in the background.
Underneath, yeah, that's just like, hey, you're going to be 30,000 feet in the air in just like a few days. And so that's always there. But what's also directly like layered on top of that, like the icing of this situation, is that we have a lot of work to do.
Beforehand
and scheduling ahead of time. So like the week that we're gone, shit's covered.
Yeah.
And then we land and we got to produce a goddamn spooky show the next fucking Wednesday. So like, in days.
I was going to say, not only do we have a lot to do, we've got this trip coming up and there's just personal, you know, life. Life is going on in the background.
Yeah.
With all the trials and tribulations that life
come
carries.
With just surviving every day in this fucking 2020s decade hellscape we live in.
And then, what if the 20s are just like this? Not even 2020, just the 20s. That brings me to my next point, as long as we're talking about hellscapes and traveling, and specifically, not that Anahatas is a hellscape, but
no.
I'm talking about the hellscape.
It's a bright spot in the hellscape.
In the hellscape. However, we cannot deny that we are in the middle of a pandemic that has been worsening.
Yeah, and we're in the middle of, we're in Texas,
y'all. We're in Texas, y'all. So, we just wanted to formally say that we, you know, at Anahatas Purpose, if you're going, everyone who's listening, and you can spread the word to everybody. Macy and I, we're going to be practicing social distancing.
Yeah, don't touch us. I don't care. Don't, you know, like, don't get me wrong. We can't wait to meet y'all. And we will. Yeah. We're going to talk to your faces and it will be great.
Through masks. Yeah, I will be wearing a mask.
Probably for a lot of it. Because we're coming from Texas.
Yeah. And while we are as careful as they come, I think we've both been vaccinated. We wear masks out. All of this, that, and the other. You can't always control what other people
no.
do.
And so just don't be all up on us.
One, I didn't want that anyway. So, like, this is nothing new for me. However, like, don't take that for us not being happy. We can't wait to see you, but just allow us our space and allow yourself the space.
And we're also asking you to not be mad at us when we have a 6-foot stick that we just hold people out with.
Well, and it is a lot of it's because we're having to fly there, you know, and we're coming from Texas. And so this is for you guys. It's for your safety, really more so than ours. And
I think everyone else should do the same. Yeah. Wear a mask. Keep it.
We're going to be able to spiritually hug all of everyone. Yeah. We're all going to be spiritually hugging.
Yeah. We can all sit in a big circle, like all 6 feet away from each other.
Yeah.
And yell.
Yell across the circle that's got to be like probably hundreds of yards wide because everybody's 6 feet apart making the circle. Yeah. No, I can't wait. The thought of Anahatas has carried me through a lot. Mm-hmm. And I can't, I have like visions in my mind I've not experienced that feel real. Like I envision like going for a walk in the morning when the sun's rising and my feet in the grass. And it's like, I've already been there somehow, even though I've not.
I think you're just seeing it through space and time.
If I am, it's great. Mm. Yeah.
Mine that comes to me is a nighttime. It's like the sun is down and there's just like there's the gaggle of night goers.
Yeah.
And we're just kind of like hanging out.
Yeah. Howling at the moon a little bit. Yeah. I can't wait for it. And it's so soon.
I know.
The episode that comes out after this one is when we will be already there. Yeah. Actually, no, we'll be flying out that day.
Oh,
yeah. So you know what? Let's go ahead and say that this let y'all know that next week, like we will be flying out that day. Give us preemptively
we're begging
some help.
We're begging you, please,
because that shit works, and we both need it. Lyra's fine. Lyra doesn't have flight phobia.
Yeah, especially if you're somebody who doesn't. If you're one of these people that can get on a plane and just act like it's the same as riding a bus.
Give us some of what you've got.
Yes.
Show me what you got.
That being said, we would like to dedicate today's Keep Your Distance From Us episode.
Okay.
Our very rude, bitchy episode to a Patreon. Ashley E.
So now I come to you, Ashley, and I believe what I say.
Is it going to be like a classic love song?
Torch songs. Yeah, kind of your power ballad type, classic.
I want to keep on loving you.
Oh, for sure. REO Speedwagon, they're always up at the top of the power ballad, the love ballads.
I have a big old big sticky sauce spot for that song.
I don't see how you don't. I'll put it up there, right alongside, like fucking. She's So High.
Whoa!
Because of it, it just does. It's like a song that you hear that just is great.
Yeah.
The chord progression is beautiful. I can't speak today. Chord progression is beautiful. And it's just his voice is beautiful. Like, and the words are beautiful. Like, it's just a good song.
That being said, I don't particularly give a shit. I'm not saying I hate them. I'm not saying I love them. I'm just saying I feel very nothing about REO Speedwagon.
No, I'm a single whore for them. I like their big singles. I've never delved into their other shit.
Discography.
Yeah. Because I'm like the same way for Toto. Yeah. You know, like I love Hold the Line. Yeah. I love Africa. I love Roxanne.
Roxanne.
Roxanne!
You know, that Toto song. Okay. What are we speaking on? Speak on it.
Speak on it.
Today. I'm talking to you about a stone. A stone called sardonyx.
Cute.
Sardonyx.
That sounds like a new age philosophy.
Sardonyx.
Yeah.
Like a...
Like fucking... Dianetics.
Dianetics, yeah.
That's exactly what it sounds like. I'm talking about rice.
Whoa!
Yeah.
As
in the grain.
Whoa!
Yeah.
All right. And I think we should jump into that. Before we talk, I want to talk about my birthday presents that I got. And if you were on the latest live, you saw them. So, to start and end every one of our lives that we do on Facebook, we do Mad Libs. We do a little Mad Lib action. And Macy got me just a thing that I can't even just, I don't know if anyone's going to feel how funny this was for it's a Mad Libs, right? But it's specific. You know how you have the D&D Mad Libs and the whatever. This was a Florida, Georgia line.
Mad Libs.
Actual Mad Libs brand, too. Yeah. Not like some like homemade knockoff. Like Mad Libs as a company.
And their picture
signed off on this.
Is on the front of it. They were involved greasy. With this.
Yeah.
And we got to learn about some of their hit songs like Bump the Labia.
Oh, that was one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just Coke Line.
Coke Lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was believable, though.
Coke Lines.
Yeah. That one, I was just like, yeah.
All right, yeah, that's an FGL song.
FGL.
But the true kicker to me, the icing on the cake, was this. Listen, have you ever walked into a gas station? Gas station a little kind of in the middle of nowhere. They might have some really cheesy little knickknacks for you to pick
up.
It's
probably wood paneled.
Yeah. And they like might have some dusty shot glasses for sale mm-hmm. that say like Texas on them or something.
Amarillo by morning.
Or the one that's just like the boobs.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
But they might also have some blankets. You know, you can buy these blankets and it might be a washed out picture of an American eagle, mm-hmm. bald eagle. Mm-hmm. Could be the flag. Mm-hmm. You know,
a wolf howling at the moon.
Exactly. Or it might be some horses running, right? Mm-hmm. So Macy whips this blanket out for me for my birthday with like, I don't want to say airbrush, but it's like a felt blanket with like these horses running.
It's a real picture. It's printed fuzzy fabric.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Of real horses. Three real, one very worried horse.
His eyeball is looking right at you. And down at the very bottom. At the very bottom corner, she got it personalized. Mm-hmm.
Custom made.
And it says, punch me. And I can't help it. I don't know. I just have this vision of the people who work there. Because, you know, you probably got to type it into a computer, what you want it to print, mm-hmm. you know. And I just can't see this poor person, like, making this horse blanket, like, what?
Very majestic running horses. Yeah. In like the desert.
Punch me. And like this font that is not Comic Sans, but like it's like this it's this faux fancy print.
Yeah, if script could be a stereotype, it's the stereotype of like cursive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's all lowercase. That was very important to me.
And it was, we laughed.
Hysterically.
Like monsters.
Yeah. You know, I rewatched that this morning because I was like, how unprofessional were we? And the answer is very. Yeah. Especially for the Florida, Georgia line.
Oh, no.
Oh, God, dude. We shrieked and they all heard it.
Was it loud?
It was silly.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So please check that out if you haven't already. If you are a member of the Patreon and you have the access to the Facebook, it's still up there. Go look at it.
It's there forever. It's there.
And it will, until it gets taken down by Facebook for being too loud.
Which we, you know what, let's also throw another PSA. Mm. Y'all, we don't make the rules for this and think it's lame, but y'all might want to not use the word whore in the coven group.
Well, see, I don't know because plenty of people do, but recently they went on a big, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, Facebook is like cracking down on hate speech.
Yeah.
But like,
which is good.
They're catching a lot of stuff though, because it's all like AI.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's like flagging stuff. So like, you know, the fucking spoons that hit with you guys, which makes me happy. The Beekman spoon mm-hmm. debacle. Mm-hmm. But like somebody posted something and was just like other spoon whores, like say this and
whore
like,
for spoons.
Totally not a big deal, but Facebook flagged that mm-hmm. as hate speech.
So if you have your thing taken down, please know it wasn't us being like, you can't say whore.
Yeah.
It was Facebook's fault. But That being said, now, but okay. Before I talk about sardonyx, I have one more thing. Join me this Saturday, the 5th, at 6 p.m. on Twitch for some more Sims action.
I was wondering when you were going to be doing this again.
And I, you know, I went a little longer than I wanted to, but join me again, twitch.tv/CharlieWithAY, and at CharlieWithAY at Twitter. All that info's down in the description box. Let's talk about sardonyx.
Wait, when was that again?
It is this Saturday the 5th of September, 6 p.m.
Lit. Texas time.
Mm. All right. So, sardonyx. It's this little orange stone.
Oh, it's just a little orange stone.
It's just a little boy. And it is actually a mix of onyx and orange carnelian.
Neat.
So, it brings the properties of onyx.
Have you been thinking about Halloween? Is that why you picked this? Does it look orange and black?
It doesn't. It looks more creamy orange, like a creamsicle to me.
Yeah, baby.
Or even like a tannish orange sometimes, you know. There's not much of a, I don't see the onyx come through that much.
I'm picturing like a Werther's caramel.
Oh, a little more orange and you're right on the nuggets. So it carries all the properties of the onyx and the orange carnelian. And it's also known as sardonyx, which is a little.
Sardonyx?
Sardonyx.
That's fun. Sardonyx.
Yeah. Apparently, it's got its name from Turkish, the Turkish city of Sardis. And I believe that is because that is where a lot of it was being found or produced from. It's a root chakra crystal, baby. It's all about. You ever make a noise and you just worry yourself? This is something that stimulates. This stone is all about your personal power, your personal happiness. It's very self-care stone. However, it's not the self-care, let's take a bath and paint our fingernails, which is self-care, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. It's important. But it's more the self-care that comes along with achieving goals that you have, you know, goals for your business or your life and kind of keeping you mentally on the track that you want to be on. So it is all about controlling your level of happiness. Set goals with sardonyx. Sardonyx eliminates procrastination. Self-empowerment, optimism, confidence, all of these buzzwords, which to me feels like it would be a solar plexus. Or no, like a solar plexus type thing. But everything I saw said it was root.
Well, with it saying it kind of focuses on just kind of keeping the... It's very grounding, it seems, because while you are achieving and like aspiring goals and whatnot, they're a bit loftier goals, it seems, than but like frivolous ones.
They're loftier goals. However, at the same time, they're goals that, although lofty, they will keep you in a grounded state. Like getting a better job, like that's a big deal. But the better job is ultimately it's going to bring you more security and stuff like that. In a physical sense, now I'm getting to where I less and less love to just speak on the physical healing of stones because I personally am not someone who's going to let that be the only thing that I do. However, I do like to read what people have used it for in the past or the old beliefs surrounding it. So one thing with sardonyx is it was good for the bones.
Oh,
yeah, it would good, but not just good for the bones, good for healing bones.
Okay.
So if you've broken a bone, slap a carnelian, a sardonyx on it, and it would knit the bone together, or at least help to speed that process along.
I like that. I like when they talk about bone knitting.
Knit. I love knit.
Yeah.
Instead of mend, I like knit. If you have problems with the upper respiratory tract, we're talking lungs, we're talking sinuses, allergies even. It's a good stone to kind of wear as a necklace or maybe as earrings or something like that to kind of help along with your Clarinex or whatever the fuck you're taking.
Yeah, your medicines.
But its bread and butter is helping you to achieve goals, particularly if you have it on you every single day. It's going to help to like strengthen your resolve to achieve these goals, you know, because sometimes setting big goals can be scary to the point where you kind of think, I thought about it. I don't know. I'll just stay where I am, you know, but like maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you should, like, step out and get that big job or whatever. But wearing it every day, like, the longer you wear it, the more it's going to work. I also read that it had kind of a slow burn, like a slow build of an action. Unlike something like obsidian. You remember obsidian was like, you only want to wear this for, like, a few hours at a time. Don't wear it all day, you know, that kind of thing, because it sucks everything in. And while it might start with the bad shit, eventually it's going to get hungry and just start taking anything it can get. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a black hole of a stone. So you don't want to, like, wear it right on your heart center, like, all fucking day.
Which I've done a lot.
Yeah, for sure. Or, you know, you could always just pair it. Pair it with something else that will will, you know, help it suck the bad out, but, like, leave the good shit alone, you know? So this one's kind of it's not like that. You are encouraged to wear it or carry it on you for a long time. It slowly builds that thing. And while you're wearing it, expect to become very popular.
Oh, very that's popular. Easy.
This is going to make you attractive to people. Now, maybe not attractive to people, but it's going to make you a very...
magnetic.
Yes. Who's that? Who's that girl? How's that song go?
Who's that lady?
Sexy lady.
Who's that lady?
Oh.
Sexy lady.
There it is. It's like, I knew she was a sexy lady. It'll make, you know, everyone will just be, who's that person? I want to get close with them. You know, so to help you if you're looking to bring in friends. Another thing that is very... It has this vibe of just your, like, hierarchy of needs, almost. It's kind of, like, low down on that. It's not so much putting you in the sky, talking to gods, talking to trees and deities and stuff. It's more so helping to satisfy your earthly desires. Mm. Bringing in money, bringing in happiness. It's wonderful for stimulating happiness in general.
Stimulate.
So it can be happiness that is brought because you're achieving your goals, or it could just be a happiness in a situation. Mm-hmm. It's going to stimulate your happiness. And while it's doing that, it's also protecting you.
Well, isn't that great?
Also protecting you from things like disappointment. It's protecting you for things like loneliness.
Oh.
So with that combination of kind of helping you socially fly, helping your happiness to become stimulated and erect, and also protect, engorged, taut,
throbbing even.
His pants became tight with want.
Ew. I don't like it.
Anyway, with that combination of protection and stuff like that, it's really boosting to stuff like your self-confidence. Mm. Because it's going to help you get out on this limb. It's going to help you go out for the things that you want. And you know what? If it doesn't work out, the disappointment's not going to be that intense, you know? So it's like a real put yourself out there and see what happens kind of stone. If you're like me and you're not great at that kind of thing... If you're not great at being like, let's take a... Well, you know what? No, I say that. I take many risks, but I'm just kind of... It's not because I'm really looking for anything better. I'm just like, what's going to happen is going to happen. Yeah. It's a real fucking attitude. But if you're intentionally trying to step out there, sardonyx is good to have on your person and boost all these aspects of your life. I did see one thing that said... that said, sardonyx, some people use it to lower the crime rate in their area.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go.
Like, you just get some and put it in your house and everybody's supposed to do it together?
Sure. I think this comes from a bit of the history that I saw about I think it was either a religious figure or somebody through time who was rumored to live in a place that had gates made entirely of sardonyx.
Oh.
And because of that, like, no evil was allowed to enter. Like, nothing bad happened on the property. Nothing that wasn't, like, happy and friend and jovial. Like, that's the energy that it kind of brings, is this jovial energy. And it wouldn't, like, allow anything to, as I read, I think he said, it wouldn't allow it to poison that.
Oh.
Yeah. And so that's what I think it comes from. You know how stories work their way through time and don't look anything like the source material anymore? So that's, I think, how we got down to, like, put some sardonyx in your yard and don't have crime.
Isn't that nice?
Isn't that nice? Wouldn't that be great if it was real?
Yeah.
The ancient Egyptians loved the stone. They added it to their absolute slew of things that they would use for protection against evil. The ancient Egyptian culture is so cool to me because it's so, I don't want to say opulent because I don't want to make it, I don't want to like take away from like the importance of the culture, right. You know what I mean? But it just seemed like everything had its purpose.
They liked decorating too.
And there was so much symbolism behind things. And I was thinking the other day, actually on the drive up here, because it's a beautiful day outside right now.
It is gorgeous.
And it's one of the days where the sky looks truly sky blue.
Yeah.
And all the green trees, like it rained fair, you know, a little bit here recently. So like all the green shit is super green. So there's this really nice contrast between the sky and the land. And I was thinking about how way back when we talked about how they would use makeup for magic purposes and they would do green under the eye, like for the land. Mm-hmm. And then they would do like the blue on the top of the eye for the sky. And it just popped into my head looking at this beautiful fucking day we got out, folks.
That reminds me. So I actually had a super weird flash moment of like paranoia. You know, they just sneak in every now and then.
Oh, yeah.
And I was bringing Bruce back from training, his little school appointment.
Oh.
And the sky was so blue.
Mm.
Too blue. And like I had a moment and I was about to pull into the driveway and I just looked at the sky and it was cartoon blue.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like a cartoon sky.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at it for a second and before my brain could kick in to catch my subconscious from running wild, it was just like, did they fuck up? Did they fuck up today? This is not supposed to look this fake.
They let somebody's kid jumped on and like set the saturation up too high.
Yeah, you know, and then I kind of thought about it and I was like, whoa, this has gotten far.
Yeah.
You know,
this isn't real.
Yeah, this is not a good place to be, probably.
You know what I think about too much is that episode of Invader Zim where they go outside and they notice the sky is all TV screens.
Yeah. Because the planet got, like,
kidnapped.
Yeah, hijacked pretty much and stored by the towing company. They're like that weird, like, don't they?
Was that getting, Invader Zim or was that like?
That was Rick and Morty. Fuck. All right. Well, there's two very similar episodes.
There was an Invader Zim, though, where they had like.
100%. Mm-hmm. And it was all that way. But I think I might be thinking of the towing episode might be from Rick and Morty because Earth gets like towed away. Like the sky is all simulated and it had already been done before they even realized
it. I love that we're living in a reality where we're mixing up Rick and Morty and Invader Zim.
I know.
Not too different. They're both.
I would consider them comparable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like for grown-ups.
Yeah.
Anyway. Anyway, I think about that far too often. I look, because you know, you look at the clouds sometimes and they look like cutouts of construction paper that are just on the sky. It freaks me out.
Which I've heard a lot about Texas skies. Like, I don't know. Part of me thinks that not everywhere looks like that.
Well, you remember
like,
Sandy Cheeks' song, right? I wish I was in Texas. I miss those wide open skies. I wish I was in Texas. Barbecue and pecan pie.
That's all we do.
Oh, you don't remember that?
No, I don't remember that, which is weird.
I want to go home.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I want to go home. Yeah. Okay. That came basically at the end of my of my sardonyx.
Oh, okay.
I just, you know, just to wrap it up. If you have goals that you want to accomplish, friends that you need to make, or happiness that needs stimulation. Wear you a piece of sardonyx every day of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Work it in. Put it in your belt buckle.
Put it up your butt.
Stick it in your butt. Sardonyx. Put it in your butt.
Put it in your butt.
Official Waba advice. Refer to our
disclaimer.
Macy.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need something a little stronger than sardonyx to help with your mental health.
Oh, is that right?
I think so. Hmm. We have... Luckily, there's today's sponsor, BetterHelp.
That's right. BetterHelp is the worldwide online counseling service that can get you matched up with a counselor that really gets you within 24 hours. All you got to do is complete a short little questionnaire and they will do the rest.
BetterHelp has a whole slew of counselors specialized in just about anything you want to talk about. Things like depression,
stress,
anxiety,
relationships,
anger problems,
family conflicts,
grief,
and
more.
And of course, if you feel like you're not, if you're just not driving super well with your counselor, you can request a new one mm-hmm. and get synced up and talking again in no time. And it's not a big deal. It's no, they don't make a thing about it. And of course, it is all completely confidential.
Confidential, safe. You know, it's at a distance. I would like to just kind of briefly break in again. I never thought I'd have to be revisiting this topic, but the world's once again getting a little scary. You know, there's new stuff going around. And once again, we are encouraged to stay at home as much as we can and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, that can really take a toll on mental health, as we learned from the year of 2020. Mm-hmm. It's important to keep an eye out for it. So keep a check on those inner thoughts and head on over to BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/which.
That's right, BetterHelp.com/which. And that gets you 10% off your first month with BetterHelp. So one more time, that is BetterHelp.com/which.
I jumped in.
I'm going to talk to you. This is a pretty thick boy topic. I'm going to talk to you about rice. Full stop.
Mm-hmm. Seems like that would be a thick boy topic.
Well, that's, you know, that you're right. It's actually kind of, that's my first sentence that I have in my notes is it is so big of a topic. Mm. It's pretty daunting.
You splitting it?
No.
Oh.
But I am just kind of giving you literally what this show is about.
A wide swath.
A little taste. Yeah, a taste of a lot of things. Mm. It's not everything. Like, seriously, there could be a whole fucking podcast on the history of rice and humanity.
Yeah.
And cultures.
Oh, yeah.
It's huge. However,
we're not covering all of it here.
Yeah,
in
believe
the next
it or not.
20 minutes or so.
But I will touch on some hot points.
Okay.
You know, but again, it's not going to be all of it because it literally can't be. What I'm saying is, don't at me if I leave shit out. I'm starting to fail here. Is what I'm saying.
At Macy and East.
I know. Yeah. So here we go. So this was something I wasn't aware of. It's pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. It's still kind of unknown as to where the like domestication of rice happened for sure.
Hmm.
Like to where, because it's in, and I go into this a little further later, I think, but through like genetic studies and like genetic sequencing and shit, they can tell that there's a point in history when rice looks like it started being cultivated by man, genetically messed with, you know, through breeding and whatnot. They don't exactly know where this originated from, not for sure. And what's interesting is that apparently, like, it is really important for the country. Like, they want this title to be the you know, which makes sense. I mean, rice is absolutely massive.
If I could claim that I did it, I'd do
it. Yeah, that like my country started the domestication, which altered all of human history.
Yeah.
I mean, forever. And
like horses or like any other like massive.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, potatoes.
You know? And it's between China and India. That's where it's looking like China.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of, but it's still seemingly possible that even though it's really looking like China, but both really want it and both do studies that say we did it.
Oh.
You know, so.
So we don't know for sure.
Yeah, it seems like, according to like the latest data, it's probably China.
Okay. I love that there's stuff we don't know.
There's so much that we don't
that
know.
Stuff.
Oh my
that
God.
That just as humans, we just don't know.
Oh, yeah. It's
not you and me. I mean,
I was that is just a given. And literally assume all anything all.
Yeah.
But no, you're right. Like, there's still questions that we have just no clue on. But I go in later into like kind of some clues that they have. So
did they like write it out like on a grain of rice, like really tiny?
Unfortunately, like, no, because that would have helped things.
It's like some dude, like, he's like his name, like he's like, I was here first.
Yeah. Well, and so, but they are studying like dig sites and whatnot for clues for this. And it, what's so interesting about it is that it seems like humans started fucking with rice a long time ago. Mm. A long time ago. And the window of how long kind of fluctuates depending on the scientist and the location and the country that they're in and things like that. There's some scientists that say 8,000 BC
Jeez.
Is like a and I, you know, perhaps that's not when it was like fully transformed into the more edible, less wild rice that it is today. But like there's evidence that it was starting to be bred and kind of cultivated around that time.
How do you figure that out? How do you figure I can pick this, boil it, and eat it?
Well, and that if we start kind of planting and start trying to get different characteristics and traits, we can, after a few generations, get a rice yield that's actually food. Mm. Because wild rice was not super palatable. Like, it was not as palatable. They would eat other things.
So what makes you start fucking with things that's not food to get to food? Damn, people are smart.
I know. It's really, really interesting. What and so they know, you know, this rice back way back when that, it, you know, it wasn't ready yet. And a lot of that is due to the, like, shape of the rice, you know, like it was irregular, you know, and proof that it was kind of in this breeding process. Mm. It's not quite wild rice for the time and not quite like rice that we, it was just kind of this odd rice. That kind of says, like, no, this probably took a while. Mm-hmm. This took a long time to get right and, you know, go from just wild rice to rice. Mm. That is a supplement for the diet that people can eat and survive.
How good is rice?
Love rice.
Jesus.
Oh, love rice. Rice, some brown rice with some butter in there and a touch of vanilla and a touch of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Is one of the best, maybe a little dash of milk.
Like a
some cinnamon.
Like a rice pudding.
Pop, yeah, baby. Kind of, love it.
Oh, yeah.
Love it. But also just rice. Like just rice with a little bit of pepper in it and just a tiny bit of salt.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll just eat it.
I've eaten that for dinner.
I love it. Yeah. It's wonderful.
So good. Thank you. Thanks, rice.
How good is rice?
How good is rice? We're the rice podcast now.
But it didn't used to be good.
Okay.
See, that's the thing. So eventually, and this is how they kind of start trying to figure out dates and if the rice that they found, if it was like done or if it was still in between. So for instance, at a site, they found, you know, a very old site, like an old home or something. They'd find different pots of wares and provisions. And so they'd find a big one of like acorns, and acorns were a big part of the diet. They would be, you know, hunter-gatherers who could eat acorns. And eventually rice like phased acorns out to where it wasn't necessary anymore. But if they find this dig site and whatever, and it's like an old home or something like that, or like a place that like a hunter-gatherer resided, and there's both acorns and this weird rice, they know, well, this rice probably wasn't cutting it yet, you know, because they're still eating acorns. And so they use context clues like that to kind of try to figure out the progression of this, as well as gene sequencing. On tracing things back. And that's kind of where it is now. Like the modern study is really looking at the genetics of different grains of rice from different times.
Interesting.
To track the breeding of it and be like, well, if this, you know, exists here, if this trait or, you know, something exists here, but at beyond a certain point, we can't find it anymore. Mm-hmm. That means that it came later.
Right.
And so they're trying to piece together the story of rice and its domestication, and for sure pinpoint the origin. So that's kind of where it stands now. It seems most widely believed to be the Yangtze River Valley in China, and that's kind of seems to be the spot, okay. You know. But still, not known for sure. And that was all from Nature.com.
Oh,
really interesting article. You know, articles / 514S58A. We'll put that in the notes. But it was a really interesting read. So there are two main, like, subspecies of rice. I mean, there's a whole bunch of varieties of rice, but like two main.
Jasmine?
Yes. But jasmine.
Basmati?
Basmati? Bismarck.
Bisquick.
Beauty Mark.
Beauty pageant. I lost that one. I felt it.
I felt it. So, the two species are indica.
Okay.
And
sativa.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, look at you.
Wow.
And japonica.
Oh.
So, indica rice, it likes the tropics. It likes the tropical climates, more like subtropical or temperate climates. So, what you would find in East Asia.
Okay.
So, there's other rice. There's another also on, you know, along with these two, Oryzea glabrima. And it came much later, but it came out of Africa, developed in West Africa.
Okay.
So another, you know, because when I think of rice, I think of, you know, of course, like it's huge in Asia.
Right.
But also I think of like Central and South America, mm-hmm. you know, like that's it's huge. It's mm-hmm. a major, major, major part of the diet. And so it made me really kind of want to look into that. I was like, well, so if rice domesticated out of Asia, like, what's the story? And colonization.
Oh, there it is.
Ding, 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 ding. And so it's not native here.
Okay.
And it was spread, it seems, so Asian rice.
Mm-hmm.
These two, I don't know which one of the two, whether okay. it be indica or japonica. Mm-hmm. One of Asian rice came in to Mexico and Brazil, okay. it seems, in like the early half of the 1500s.
Okay.
So it came via colonization. And often.
At this point, had it made its way to like Europe and stuff? Are we talking about like the European?
Yeah, this was okay. the Spanish.
Right.
And, I think I say. In here, it was the Spanish and I think another country. Mm-hmm. But they brought it. Well, and a lot of this reason is very tied to slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So rice was often grown on plantations and whatnot, almost purely to supplement the slaves' diets.
Oh.
And so, I mean, like the owners and whatnot would be eating, you know, who knows what, right. all the fancy things. But like they would essentially just grow a lot of rice and they would sell the surplus. Sure. But like it seemed to start, it was a lot of it due to just needing to grow something cheap and, you know, grows in mass. And they have to break their backs to also grow that,
yeah,
you know, too.
Jesus.
So, Christ. But that's kind of, it grows in tandem a lot with the spread of slavery because it was used as a supplement to
as
the diet.
As with so many other things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
However, well, and that's the thing. Slavery was utilized all over the Americas.
Right.
You know, South America, you have Brazil, mm-hmm. you know, the Caribbean, Central America, up into North America, you know, like, I mean, that whole area. And with it came the spread of this. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, too, you eventually have a very large influx of Asian population coming into California.
Mm-hmm.
And that started, that did also, there's like a, if, you know, if you're looking at a map and you see like the spread of like, it that started.
It's like
it,
from both sides.
Yeah,
like,
it really kind of, that spread a mm-hmm. lot. Like, so it really just, where it shows up, it becomes a part of things. It really does. Humans just take to it.
Yeah.
So with that, I mean, you do, with, I mean, food and culture are hand in hand.
Yeah.
So you just get, you, so much of it, you know, of the things that grow nearby and the culture of, and so you get a lot of native dishes where rice is present, and it's a big staple.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and a lot of that is because the native populations are descendants of those that were enslaved.
Mm-hmm.
They were the ones eating the rice, you know, and so this integrates into the culture. And, you know, like I'm sure they haven't forgotten why, but we forget why,
right.
you know, and it's just really interesting to learn that. And, you know, because there's also the rice that was from West Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just, it's so very much tied, and it just, it travels along that whole, the whole, you know, colonization and slavery and all of that.
Colonization.
Colonization. What a scary word.
And the thing is the more that it is so weird to me how we did not learn it in school the way that it really is. What I mean?
We got this glorious, glossed over, triumphant.
Colonization was like, oh, that's when we came over and made a house here.
Yeah.
You know? And then now as adults and you expand your knowledge of things and look into other people talking about things besides your fucking small town Texas mm-hmm. school curriculum. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, shit.
Well, and it's still and happening. It's, and
for some reason, that's the thing. That's why it bothers me is because I know that it's still happening.
Like, chocolate is one, and
you talk about chocolate?
No, but I will. I will always talk about chocolate. So it's still going on. So it is. It's always interesting. And I feel like there was one of these very recently. It was, I don't remember, okra, and very mundane things that there's such a rich history to that I am completely ignorant to.
Right, right.
So it's always interesting to stumble across things like this.
Because honestly, before today, and I know this is going to make me sound like a dumb shit, but when you said you were talking about rice, I was just like, oh yeah, Tex-Mex rice. I never thought, wait, that doesn't come from here.
No. Yeah.
I mean, I'll drive around Texas and see different kinds of farms, but I've never seen rice farms, it's not from here. Huh.
So while there's a whole bunch of different breeds of rice and types of rice, it only naturally occurs in the colors brown, black, purpley color, and red. Those are your colors. White rice does not exist. White rice is brown rice that they've processed.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's why it says enriched. Mm. So the reason for that is basically they take the bran and the germ from the pebble, the rice grain.
Right.
And they remove it. And so brown rice is completely intact. That's what the term whole grain means.
Right.
Brown rice is still a whole.
The whole grain.
Right. Yeah. White rice has had parts of it removed, and then they supplement nutrients back into it. I don't know why. I mean, I think it does exponentially speed up cooking time.
Yeah.
White rice cooks very quickly because it's missing that outer coating and whatnot. I mean, minute rice.
Yeah.
You can't cook brown rice like that. I think that it's mainly a convenience issue.
And we've just been palatized to it, I guess. We're used to, I know that now as an adult, I prefer a brown rice.
Yeah.
Or a wild rice or something like that. Yeah. But I know as a kid, I wouldn't eat anything but white rice. That was just what you got.
Yeah.
Because it was the other stuff was spooky. I guess it's the same way that you eat white bread when you're a kid.
See, I never liked white bread.
Really?
No. It all, we were always, I mean, granted, it's not a heavy bread, but we were always a Nature's Own honey wheat comes in the orange package.
Every once in a while, dad would buy one of those really fancy, I say really fancy, they're $2 more, but they have the oatmeal on top.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the oats or whatever. Yeah.
And you feel like you're getting a real treat.
Oh, you feel like you're getting a whole meal in that mm-hmm. size of bread.
So, That's why brown rice is typically considered to be healthier, because it is. It's the whole grain. It has.
And there's something about arsenic also. I don't know if that was ever true, but I know a few years ago everybody was freaking about arsenic in white rice.
I don't know about that.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Let me see. So let's get into the metaphysical. So it's a very earth kind of energy, but I would also think water because rice mm-hmm. wants wet. It mm-hmm. likes it wet, mm-hmm. And so to me, and that's just kind of how it reads to me, rice, mm-hmm. If I was going to give an earth offering rice, I wouldn't probably offer it for water, mm-hmm. but there is a lot of water ties to it in here. And I'm excited to tell you about him because when I heard him, I was like, ooh, that's neat. So, overall, the uses for rice, I think that I find to be very appropriate. Mm. I think they make sense for the plant and for the grain. I like it when that happens, when it's not
I like that.
Random to where you're like, why though? It's they all made sense. They're very practical to me. So, one of the things that you can use rice for is work in abundance.
Okay.
So in so many places in the world, rice is a staple for survival. Mm-hmm. It is a major part of the diet. If you have rice, you will eat. Mm-hmm. You probably will live.
Isn't rice one of those, like, one of the five gifts that you give to, like, a new house? Isn't it, like, salt for flavor, bread so you'll never go hungry, sugar so your life is sweet?
I like that, though. I didn't catch that when
something
I was doing
like
this.
That.
I believe it makes sense.
I don't know if it is or not, but it should be.
It makes total sense. And because rice kind of fits with that kind of thing, like, especially its metaphysical purposes. So, you know, like, imagine, you know, just with, like, you in a way to, like, symbolize rice. Mm. Like, you're in a cabin trapped for the winter, like, you're snowed in. Imagine your outlook if in one of those scenarios there's, like, a 50-pound sack of rice.
Oh, you're good.
Yeah, you're going to make it, you know? Even, like, you'll be malnourished and you might lose some fucking teeth, but you're going to live, you know?
You'll get scabies for sure.
Something, you know, yeah. But it's...
Or what do sailors get?
Scurvy.
Scurvy. Not scabies.
Which, if I've seen enough episodes of Alone, I think that you can boil, is it juniper? Some trees, like the fir needles or whatever, they have vitamin C in them.
Oh.
And you can drink it. Yeah.
I'm so glad. I need to start watching Alone.
I love Alone. It's incredible.
Is it People on Netflix?
Yes.
I'm going to watch it.
There's one season on Netflix, and then I think there were some on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
Yeah. Essentially, to have rice is to have life. To me, that makes sense in working with abundance. Mm-hmm. Like, when you strip things down into your needs, when you strip away modern civilization, a pot of rice, you have a bounty. That's an abundance. Back before you could just go to the store and get shit, you know? Like... And so I feel like it's really good as a symbol for abundance. And it's also why it's traditionally tossed on newlyweds.
Okay.
A symbol for kind of bringing in this abundance and prosperity for the new couple. Yeah. But also it feeds the spirits who will then be happy and won't go after the couple.
Great. Newborn babies and newlywed couples are all...
Anything new.
Fresh and new, you're in trouble.
When you break from the status quo in any way.
Yeah. Also, they don't do rice anymore, right? Because the birds... And it's not great for the birds.
So I was reading this. I was looking into this. Mm. And from what I could tell, especially, it seems brown rice, but it's kind of a myth. Mm. Like, they can eat some and they won't blow up. Because the myth is that it will make birds blow up.
Yeah.
And I was looking into that. And again, I'm not a bird person. I'm not a birder.
You're not a bird botanist?
Yeah. You know, that's a plant person.
A birdnist?
a birdinist?
Yeah. And
I'm not. But I was looking into it and it kind of seems that leans more toward... exaggeration than fact.
Probably still goes on my tummy.
Yeah, you probably don't love it, you know, but they'll eat it.
Use biodegradable paper. Throw tomatoes at weddings.
Just right at them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Medieval style.
Right at that red dress.
Yeah.
Red dress, white dress.
It will be red.
Oh.
So rice is also seen as a protective tool or can be used in protective magic in multiple ways. So a common practice, I love this so much. So you can place a jar of rice near the entryway of your home, because we all know that demons and baddies, they see shit, they got to count it.
Yeah.
And so the concept is that you need to put it in a window area or something at the front. And so when they're strolling right up into your front door, because that's how they want to enter, they want to go up through your walkway,
through your front door.
They see it out of the corner of their eye, and then they double take it.
Shit.
Like, oh, what the fuck is that? Ooh, how many is in there? Yeah. And then they look at it, and then the sun comes up.
Oh.
You know, like, so much time passes, and I'm like, oh, shit, man, I got to get out of here.
I've been spending all night counting this rice.
And so it's kind of like a deterrent against shit like that. And I just think that's really funny. And you could, like, I kind of want to do this and go all out with it. Mm. Really jar spell it up, like add different herbs in there and mix it all in together, you know, maybe like some angelica root ground up in there and some salt and other type protective things and mix it all
there. Chickpeas like an elementary.
Count the chickpeas. Like put all that in there and then like I love sending off jar spells by just sticking a candle directly onto the top and melting it and sealing it that way. And do that, you know, and then just have this really cool looking jar of rice that you can dress up all pretty if you want to.
Yeah.
And because that's kind of country too. Like you could put like a nice little, you know, on the ring, put some fabric under it that's real cute, you know, Pioneer Woman fucking style.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so it's kind of incognito a little bit.
Like, as long as you wrap it. One of those like burlap ribbons around.
Oh, that's all you need. It's completely hidden.
Yeah.
And especially too, if you really want to be secretive, like, and you do, if you also like to do the candle wax on top and whatnot, then after you do that, you can put fabric over it and tie it with a little twine and nobody's going to know.
And it'll just look like a jar of preserve.
Yeah. It could be sigiled to all hell under there. Yeah. So I love things like that, that can be all decor and nobody has to know but you that you got that shit going
on. How many people's grandmas have like their jars of preserves and one of them is just fucking witchcraft?
Yeah. I know that. I know them all of them. Folk magicians.
Yes.
So rice can also absorb negativity or unwanted energies, much like soaking water out of a phone. Very same basic principle with rice. You can place it in bowls and put the bowls like in the corners of a room or the corners of your house or, you know, corners of your property, things like that. Just kind of sucking up all
like a
that.
Salt thing.
Yeah. Unwanted energy and whatnot that, you know, that miasma that's hanging around.
Need to talk to you about miasma.
Miasma. And it's a good alternative for those who can't smoke cleanse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you live in some apartments, it's not super easy. You can't just smoke the place up because you share a vent system or smoke detectors or got to live incognito for a little while. Yeah.
Or
whole slew of reasons.
You're trying to avoid the $700 to replace your carpet.
Yeah. Like, I mean, pick one.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, something that you can do. I kind of like the idea too of just like mixing it with a bunch of herbs and making a strewing blend out of it. And then you can sweep it all up after it's sat and soaked up everything.
Toss it.
I love it. And because then I think you could compost it. I did see, this is very interesting. It's amazing the hot debates you can find in the composting community.
Is there a war?
Well, there's definitely some differing opinions.
Oh.
So I saw plenty of people say that, yeah, you sure go ahead, especially if you have a hot pile and you know, you want to compost, sure, compost your rice. But then other people were like, absolutely not. Do not compost your rice. I think I'm going to compost my rice.
What's the reason behind
I don't remember. I remember reading it and being like, what?
There's somebody listening to this right now beating the shit out of their radio.
Oh, probably. Yeah. Oh, almost certainly.
And I would just like to say, take a breath. Touch grass.
I don't know. I don't remember. It might be completely valid. But again, there were just as many people that were like, yeah, sure.
I just like to tell people, just take a breath, you know. Anytime you get really hot about something,
just breathe a little.
I don't care if you're right. Take a breath.
Yeah. Probably what you'll say following that.
Shut the hell up, bitch.
Yeah. You just take a, you're an alcoholic.
I'm going to kill you. Okay.
So you can also, I thought this was kind of cool, which I didn't actually read this. It's just something that I think that you can do. And I'm sure this exists out there. I just didn't find it, but I don't see why not.
Intuitive witchcraft.
Well, I know. See, that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing here. You could put your, I don't see why you can't cleanse tools in a bowl of rice, like stones or whatnot, things like that. Maybe things that you don't want to leave exposed to the elements.
Like salt will eat away at some stones. And
So you can do rice and it's, you know, it still has the absorption of, you know, negative unwanted energies, but it's mild and it's not going to hurt anybody.
I love it.
Yeah. It's not going to melt your stones or eat them away or anything.
In that line of logic, could you also use like kitty litter?
Gross.
I mean,
I wouldn't want all the weird like dust and perfumey kind of scent.
Listen, I'm just
shit.
Off the top of the dome.
I just associate kitty litter with just choking dust. I haven't come in contact with kitty litter since I was about 10 years old, but I just always remember hating it.
And they get their little kitty paws and they drag it around the house.
Yeah, smearing their shit on everything.
Oh, Macy's a dog person.
And they kick all the litter out when they're covering up their business.
I love those auto cleaners.
Those are pretty
fucking lit. Those super expensive ones, like a barrel, you shit in it and then it barrel rolls.
Yeah. It scoops it up.
Yeah. Scares the shit out of the cat.
Barrel rolls. Yeah. So this is maybe my favorite thing about rice, like metaphysically that I did not know. It's pretty neat. And I saw this over and over and over again, and rice can be used to bring rain.
Oh.
I know it. And so, of course, this jumped out at me because there's many places all over the world that are in a huge drought as our climate hurtles out of control due to climate change. And they need rain right now, and which is interesting. East Texas is like turning tropical. Right. We have had wetter summers than we have had in a long, long time. The temperatures are pretty mild. Winters are getting harsher, which is weird. Mm-hmm. But it's like we've not had to water our grass or anything. I've not even had to water my fucking caladiums. Nothing. All summer. And they're fine. Because we've gotten rain like once a week all summer long.
Spooky.
It's scary. Especially since like I remember being a kid growing up here and we would have bushfires.
Yeah.
All the time. Like every summer was bushfire season. I remember
every summer would be a drought.
Yeah. Not anymore. And so it's weird.
Is not trying to be insensitive to the hurricane situation. No, but it's
just,
right
we're just
now,
trying to explain like how shit's changing.
Yeah.
And so the act of tossing the rice into the air and letting it fall is very, is like a way to, you can add that into your rain spells as the symbolism and energy of drawing the rain in and
it's
down.
It's like bringing the clouds down.
Yeah. And just the drops and the water and you throw the rice. You can also use rice water, and rice water is very trendy right now. Mm. It's in hair products like shampoos and whatnot.
Mm. Shout out to
right now, yeah, I did. I got a rice water shampoo bar from Moonlight's Apothecary. It's great, and it rice water has a lot of uses. So you know, of course, like people are putting it in hair products and things like that. But there's some neat. You can use it in witchcraft as well. So you get rice water from when you soak the rice in water, get for a fair enough amount of time, and it leaches the nutrients and whatnot out from
cloudy.
Yeah, out from the rice, and this is typically done at room temp. And where you choose to go from here is up to you. Some people like to ferment it, and you can use fermented rice water for a lot of things. Like
is that, like sake?
No. Well, I mean, like I think that is rice. Wine, based, but right. Like, yeah, but this is it wine? I don't know what
I think
sake
is wise wine.
But it will, like for it, it does, it creates like lactobacillus and you just ferment it on your, and you can use it
for a half a second. My brain was like, psilocybin,
but you know, you can use that for a whole slew of things. Like, a lot of people use it in like plant fertilizers and things like that because it can help strengthen the immune system of your plants and compost, things like that. But also, I just kind of I like fermentation, and I like the idea, especially in witchcraft, if you're using this thing in spell work, knowing that you have, like, billions of microbes in there, like, it's an active thing, it's alive, and that's cool to me. Yeah. But if you don't feel comfortable with fermenting, and it can be a little gross and can get a little funny smelling and whatnot, you can just go ahead and bottle it and, like, put it in the fridge, you know, if you don't want to ferment it.
You just drink it? Or what do you do with it once you?
Well, so you use it as a spray, you know, in witchcraft.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Some people do ferment like rice water, and it seems like there's beverages that you can consume, essentially like probiotic beverages, kind of like, you know, Yakult type situation.
Tapioca pudding.
Yeah, and you can drink it.
I'm sorry. Did you just say yes when I said tapioca pudding?
Yes.
To being a probiotic.
Okay. Yeah.
That's all.
For the heart.
That's all I need.
And I don't know. I don't feel comfortable recommending that, though, just because fermentation is a tricky business. But it's apparently doable. So I think depending on how long it takes to ferment, 48 hours seems to be kind of like a base for that. Some say longer, depending on the temperature and other things going on, like atmosphere-wise, humidity, things like that. Or again, you can just bottle it straight away without fermenting it. Spray bottle is probably best. So, you know, back to like if you want to use it for a rain spell, you can bottle up your rice water and like spray it all around when you're doing an incantation to bring rain in, and you're just kind of spraying it up and letting it fall everywhere and whatnot. And again, that's kind of a smokeless type of spell that you can do. If you use bath magic, you can add some of your rice water to the bath. And, you know, this is kind of in uses for protection and abundance, or a rain spell. If you wanted, if you do a lot of your magic in the bath, go ahead and pop that in there too as like a little extra thing. I do spells in the bath somewhat regularly. So sometimes it's like actually a place of, it's not just bath magic. It's like actual spell work that I just happen to do in the bath.
I imagine it would like soften your skin too.
I would think so. Yeah.
All those nutrients.
And so rice is a good offering for earth. If you have like an altar, an elemental altar or like
Arthur.
Like when I do big time spells, I like to do offerings for all of the elements and whatnot. Like it's a good one for that. You can do it for earth and earth based deities. It seems like it's a pretty acceptable offering for a lot of earth based deities. And you can also like use the colors of rice. In your spell work, if you want to, you know, like you could use black or kind of like purple rice for protection, things like that. Red rice could be fertility magic. It does seem in, there is like a green rice, which is not naturally green. Seems very, very based and rooted in like hoodoo type conjure practices. Because that's where I kind of saw that the most. But there is like a green rice that can be utilized for like luck kind of work. But yeah, that's rice.
How good is rice?
How good is rice?
It's great.
It's wonderful. Love rice.
I love rice. I really, really like the idea of the jar by the door.
I know.
I really like that.
I want to make one up real cute.
I'm like thinking, I'm like, I got all the stuff for that. I think.
Yeah. You could put all kinds of, like all the herbs in it and all kinds of cool shit in there. You could even like hide like stones, you know, or if you want them visible, you can, but like you could like drop them in as you're filling it, you know, and like hide them in the middle.
Poke a little stone.
Like, just pop it in there.
Yeah. Some flowers.
Oh. Yeah, that'd be cute. Yeah. Like dried flowers, like arranged kind of on the outside.
Yeah. I like it.
I'm almost picturing like, you know, like sand art, you know?
Yeah, that's basically, oh my gosh. Do you remember sand art?
Oh, I remember always being devastated when it got jostled and ruined.
Oh, life ending for a kid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I was always a little bit upset that somebody did way better than me. Because I always, like, had great visions, but I couldn't execute them very well. Mm-hmm. And there was always a kid there that, like, did some great black and white spiral or something. And I just had, like, pink and blue, and I'm going to use all the colors.
I think I only did it, like, once.
Hmm. Yeah. Were you in Girl Scouts?
No.
I was in the Scouts, and I feel like we did stuff like that.
Yeah. You don't learn anything cool like going camping.
I did learn how to put a battery in a flashlight.
Well, there you go.
That's where I learned how to do that.
That's all your little woman brain could handle.
We did a lock-in at the science museum, which was fucking dope. We got to sleep with the dinosaurs.
That's pretty badass. That's
fucking cool.
That's awesome. I've always wanted to do something like that.
It was like the only kind of lock-in situation that I ever went to because I was not about to do a church lock-in.
Mine was at a church.
Oh.
Yeah.
Were people... Do they have lock-ins for, like, teenagers?
I was in middle school.
Because I just feel like any... I just feel like that's all just an excuse to key us.
Ours was not co-ed.
Don't stop me.
That's true. Yeah, that's honestly a very good point. It's just very dangerous to guess when you're in the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
You could really misjudge, and then it makes for a tear-filled night.
Yeah, that's an extra layer of confusion, being in the South and being like, is she my friend, or...
Do we have, like, something... Do we have a connection beyond?
I don't know.
But then, you might misjudge, and then by 8 a.m. the next day...
Everybody.
You are... You're the... Shunned.
Yeah. Oh,
God. It's risky business.
Oh, it's throwing me back.
I know.
I always thought that and then, like, summer camp. I always thought these were just a scam to get kids away from parents. And then the kids would always just end up kissing.
Church camp was that way.
Yeah. Any kind of camp. I don't know. I really wanted to go to camp real bad when I was a kid. And, like, half of the reason is because I was like, maybe I could have, like, a summer romance.
I went to a week-long church camp.
And overnight? Like,
yeah.
Oh.
Like in like camp, like yeah. in a camp place with little cabins, like bunks, like camp.
Cute.
And it was the first place that I female mud wrestled.
Oh, that's right.
And rode a mechanical bull.
I feel like these are kind of suggestive for
I know.
A teenage Christian camp.
I had a great time.
Yeah, I bet you did. And I bet you kicked ass in that wrestling.
I fucking did. You know what they made us do? It was honestly a great time. I would recreate this any day of the week and twice on Sunday. So, and it was just all bitches. And so they basically had this whole row, and this was a muddy field. Oh, it yeah. was wet. Ooh. And so there was this row of like inner tubes. And
whose idea was this?
I don't know.
I need to know.
But whoever it was, they were dripping and were nowhere near the muddy water. And so basically the idea, and then we were broken into two different teams and we're facing each other. And right. the plan was to charge and you had to get as many, you had to fucking bite and scratch and claw and kick. Jesus. And you had to get as many fucking tires on your side. Well, listen, there couldn't be a game better for me yeah. if someone designed it on
yeah.
purpose.
Yeah.
And there were so many
pictures.
I feel
pictures. Like this, you would like to do this for fun.
I want to do it again.
Now.
I have thought about it a lot. Mm-hmm. And there were, for years, mm-hmm. pictures all over the church from this trip.
Oh, my.
That are just me covered in mud and you just see white screaming teeth. And they're everywhere. And it's just from that day.
See you, just the only time you ever see Macy flip into a completely different mode. Like, just she becomes a different person.
I was an animal.
Yeah.
And I
just
never forgotten it. It was so goddamn fun. And I am not feminine when it comes to things like that. And this was like, you know, like East Texas church
yeah.
camp.
Yeah.
And I wasn't the only one who wasn't, but like, it was nice to be like, all right, you know what? If we're going to get literally dirty,
let's do it.
Let's do yeah. it. Oh, I had a good time.
That sounds like fun. I love competitive shit like that. You know, I'm not like much of like a, I don't care about sports so much as, but if it's like tug of rope.
Oh,
I'm taking you down.
Hide and seek.
Oh, I'm going to find you.
Even fucking flag football. Shit like that, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. I was a very good tennis player, yeah. but there were some days I could not play tennis because I got so in my head about the fact that it was like a sport game. Mm. It was something that mattered. Mm. It got counted and like the team depended on how I did. Mm. That would, and some days I'd be great. And then some days I would be so in my head about it, I just almost couldn't hit the fucking ball.
You need like a game of Clue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Friendly competition yeah. that doesn't mean anything.
Red Rover.
And that's what I love about hide and seek.
Yeah.
Hide and seek's a thrill, but your odds are you're not playing for your life.
Oh my God. All right. So I have a review for you.
Mm.
It's from Annie A. Rose Smith. Or Anya Rose Smith. I'm not sure.
Annie Rose Smith.
And it's entitled, Yes, Yes, Yes.
Oh.
I absolutely love this podcast. I've learned a lot, laughed a lot, feel at home.
Ah.
It feels like I've known the lovely darling hosts forever for their warm personalities.
Like, nice dandy voice.
Yeah, I was trying. Yeah, I was going for like.
I've known them for 35 years.
I was going for like a Foghorn Leghorn. Didn't quite work out. I do not listen to music in the car anymore. Just this podcast.
We've taken the music from their life.
We've robbed them of real creative joy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Annie Rose Smith. And. But what else? We got socials.
Yeah, man.
Listen here. Listen, everybody hold your butts. Everybody open their butts. I got something to say. Once again, join me this Saturday, the 5th, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, twitch.tv/CharlieWithAY. All that info is down below. And Macy, we have an email address in case you would like to advertise your product. You got a product? You got a service? You want to hear it talked about on Waba? You want some of these hot ass results?
Hot ass. Apparently pretty
hot
pretty
ass.
Decent results,
hot
honestly.
Hot ass results.
Yeah.
shoot us an email, wabahpodcast@gmail.com. Just say, yo, what up? And we'll start a conversation. Instagram at Witch Bitch Amateur Hour. A Twitter at
Betcha.
Come meet with us over on Facebook at Witch Amateur Hour.
Uh-huh.
No.
Bitch on Facebook.
We have a Patreon. All kinds of extra foreign content. It's patreon.com/wabahpodcast.
Yeah, man.
And a P.O. Box.
P.O. Box 865 Canton, Texas 75103.
I don't care what you are, what you've done.
Where you've been. Been.
as long as you love me.
That's very low bar.
I don't care who you are, where you're from, what you did.
I think that's vague. That is a wide, that's a hall pass that's too big.
Yeah. Oh.
Murder?
Yeah, I was going to say, I slaughtered your whole family. Mm-hmm. As long as you love me. Wow. Well, let's go hyperventilate some more about getting on an airplane.
It'd be a good time. Y'all, Coven, karaoke, join me today. Power ballads. I want to hear them. I want to hear what you got. Show me what you got. And it'll be a good time. I took a break last week because we took a whole break. And so I was like, you know, I'm going to do a whole break. And I did. So I'll be back this week. Fucking power ballads.
Here I go again on my own. Yeah. Walking down the only road I've ever known.
I want to hear all of them. Mm. And don't disappoint me.
That's not a power ballad.
I would take it.
Okay.
Really, that I like to keep the categories pretty loose. Mm. You know, and so anything like that is like an earth mover of a song.
What about fucking Total Eclipse of the Heart?
Which RIP your vocal cords.
Turn around bright eyes.
Oh, every time I hear that song, I'm like, man, that hurts me to hear you do.
Yeah.
It sounds cool.
I mean, it's wonderful.
But it hurts me through my ears because of her vocal cords.
I'm just thinking of that music video.
Turn around.
He turns around. He has no eyes.
You know what would also be another one to do? And I very well might change my mind. We'll see what song I wind up doing. But open your eyes and see.
That your eyes are open.
That your eyes are open.
Something.
Wear no disguise for me.
Come jump into the open.
When it's cold outside,
am I feeling bad?
Hold on to the night, there will be no shame. Always I wanna be with you and make believe with you and live in harmony, harmony. And you have your hands wrapped around a nice cold steel pole.